Sunday, February 21st, 2021. Welcome this first Sunday of Lent. Our scriptures today are Genesis 9, 8 through 17, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22, and Mark 1, verses 9 through 15. Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Starting at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. So God said to Noah, This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. Our second reading from 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Third, our gospel reading is from Mark 1, 9 through 15. The baptism and the temptation of Jesus. Well, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. And with you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our theme this Lenten season is moving forward. And with this being the first Sunday of Lenten, by tradition, many of you will pledge to give up something for Lent or to change or add something to your normal routine. We do this to honor Christ and remember our baptism and the covenant Christ made to us by his death and resurrection. More times than we'd like to admit, we fail in our attempt to follow through on our pledge. We don't move forward. We give in to temptation. So today I would like to begin my message by sharing a story of how temptation overtakes us and keeps us from moving forward. Well, there was a man, let's call him Rod, who was a fine woodworker. He made cabinets and tables and mantels for family and friends and fellow church members. One day, his pastor asked him to come to the house, his house, and reconstruct the cabinet over his new refrigerator. The new refrigerator was taller than the old one, and Rod agreed. And when he came to do the work, his pastor and his wife were not at home. They had given him a key to get in, and why not? Rod was an elder of the church, a man to be trusted, a man of integrity. Well, at 11 o'clock, as he worked on the cabinet, Rod noticed that his stomach was growling. He was hungry. I mean, really hungry. He stopped working for a moment, and he looked around. Then he saw a chocolate cake with one piece cut, as if to say, "I'm yours, take me." Rod's great weakness was chocolate. A voice in his head said, "You can take it." Well, the pastor and his wife wouldn't mind. Another voice replied, "No way. From the time you were a child, you were taught to never take something that belongs to another. You must ask first." He quickly looked back to his woodwork. "How could he even think of taking that piece of cake?" he said out loud. And as he reached for one of his tools, there was that piece of chocolate cake again, staring him in the face, beckoning him to come and feast. A hoarse, rough voice from within him gave him encouragement. If they were here, they'd tell you to take it. And what he later described as his Baptist conscience spoke to him also. "But they aren't here." Well, Rod got to thinking about his background. He had been raised a Baptist, but now was a dedicated Presbyterian. How could he even consider taking the piece of cake? It would be stealing. And then he thought, "You could leave them a note and tell them you took it." And he reached for the piece of chocolate cake, then stopped. "Oh, they will think you are rude if you do that." And he worked on. Now famished and confused, he knew that he shouldn't take it, but he still wanted that cake. He made his decision. He would resist temptation. He chose to do the right thing, but his stomach was still growling. Well, a few minutes later, he noticed a jar of pepperoni sticks on the table near the chocolate cake. This time, his hand moved fast and his mind still faster. They won't even miss one stick. Well, the pepperoni tasted good as he put it into his mouth. "I like pepperoni almost as much as chocolate," Rod rationalized. What does this story of temptation have to do with the story of the flood in the book of Genesis? And further, what does the story of the flood have to do with our temptation today? So our message today I've titled, "The Waters of Temptation." But first we need to understand the waters of the flood. Well, God created man in his own image, and that meant God did not make human beings to be robots who would always do his will. And that meant that God gave men and women freedom to make choices between good and evil. That meant that we are all open to temptation, and that sometimes we use our freedom to resist temptations, but sometimes we use our freedom to accept temptation. God could have made us so that we would always do right, but he took a chance, and God made us in his image with freedom because he wanted us to love him on our own free will, not automatically. To make the choice for evil, whether it's taking the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden or taking a pepperoni stick, is a part of our human condition. The Bible tells us that after creation, the Lord observed mankind accepting and embracing temptations more frequently than they resisted them. In Genesis 6:6, we're told, God grieved making human beings. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness of earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil all the time. Genesis 6:5. And so the Lord said, "I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth." Genesis 6:7. Then in the next verse, we're told that Noah was the one exception to the pattern of unrelenting sin God observed. And then we learn of Noah, who was a righteous man, thinking of God first, last, and always. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us in Genesis 6:8. Then in Genesis 6:11 through 14, we read, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Well, then came the waters of the flood. These were waters of punishment for disobedience, idolatry, violence, and self-centeredness. And only Noah, his family, and two animals of every kind were saved. So as Noah floated over the mountaintops in the waters of the flood, he wondered when the rains would end. And when the rain stopped, he wondered when he would see dry ground again. Finally, one day, he sent out a dove to see if the waters of the flood had subsided. The dove returned with no evidence of dry ground being found, but after 7 days, he sent the dove out again. This time, the dove returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf in its beak. So as many of us know, the dove is a sign of peace, and when Christ came, the dove also became a symbol of baptism. More about that later. Today we pick up the story of Noah in Genesis 9, 8 through 17, where God establishes a covenant with Noah and his sons. God's part of the covenant is that he will never again set floodwaters over the face of the earth. Noah and his descendants have a part in this covenant too. Their part, and our part, is to promise to remember God and try to resist temptation when they come. The sign of this covenant is the rainbow. So we ask the question, what difference does the biblical story make for our lives? And one of the most important connections is discovered as we look at the waters of baptism. The first reading for the first Sunday of Lent is the story of the covenant of God made with Noah after the waters of the flood receded, symbolized by a dove and a rainbow. In the second reading for this Sunday in Lent, we read about the covenant God makes with us in the waters of baptism. Peter writes, God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read that in 1 Peter 3, 20 through 21. In other words, as the floodwaters saved Noah and his families, the waters of baptism are used by God to save us. The gospel reading in Mark 1, 9 through 15 also makes the connection with the Old Testament story of temptation and water. In this passage, we hear about the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. Jesus was baptized as an example for us to follow. He didn't need to repent. He had never sinned. But he demonstrated his identification with sinners by being baptized as an example for us. So in the gospel reading, we also hear God's approval. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Well, while this approval was for God's son, we experience that approval as well when we remember our baptism. In addition, in the Lenten gospel reading, we hear about the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. In the fourth chapter of Luke, we learn how he overcame the waters of temptation. Jesus, he blazes the trail before us by showing us how to focus on God and his word to help us resist temptation. When temptations are not rejected, repentance is still possible. Remembering our baptism is a way to come back to God when sin has separated us. This gospel reading ends with a reminder of what we are to do when the waters of temptation flood over us. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news, Mark 1:15. When the kingdom of God breaks at the time, the possibility of people being restored to the right relationship with God opens up. Repentance is an act by which restoration happens. In other words, Jesus was baptized not for himself, but for us, in the waters of baptism. God reaches out and tells us, you are my child, I am your God, thereby establishing a covenant of mutual loyalty and love. Like Jesus, we are tempted, but with the temptation, God provides good news of a means of escape. Even if we sin, God provides a means of escape called repentance. Paul puts it this way: no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. In 1 Corinthians 10:13. So what is this way out? Martin Luther says that when depressions and temptations come, the best way to handle them is to say, "I am baptized." He urges us to tell the demonic forces that tempt us that we are sons and daughters of God through baptism, and therefore, those forces have no control over us. In other words, the punishing waters of the flood are reversed in the merciful, forgiving waters of baptism. One pastor describes the means of escape like this. He said, "There are two dogs fighting in every person. One dog is called evil, the other dog is called good. These two dogs are in conflict and viciously attack one another. Which dog wins?" someone asked. "Whichever dog you feed," the pastor replied. In other words, we have a possibility of being flooded with the water of punishment if we feed evil, and a possibility of being flooded with the merciful, forgiving waters of baptism. And if we can remember the one to whom we belong, it all depends on which dog we feed. And back to our friend Rod and his story about chocolate cake and pepperoni sticks. You remember that Rod resisted the chocolate cake, the area where he was most vulnerable. And the little voice of rationalization suggested that no one would know if he took a pepperoni stick. The pepperoni stick tasted mighty good as he first put it into his mouth, but as he sucked on it, he found that it had a kind of an odd taste. Nevertheless, he was hungry, so he went back for a second piece. "They'll never notice that two sticks are missing," he thought. And this time he looked closer at the label on the jar. He read, "Puppy pepperoni." Well, when the waters of temptation flood over you, feed the good dog. Remember the waters of baptism that has given you a way out. Keep moving forward. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In his service, this is Pastor Joe.